Hi, love. I was hoping that the short email I sent to you would be sufficient in reply to your long, detailed email you sent about your, shall we say, reaction to Joseph Chilton Pierce. But it didn't work out that way. In the middle of the night, I woke up with a long, long reply pouring through. So here's some of what I remember about that. First of all, it's interesting that you had a reaction. I think we could call it a reaction, a contraction, a judgment. And what I always find is when somebody has this happen to them, usually the outside event is something inside of them that they're not acknowledging, seeing clearly, and allowing. So if you feel so upset about somebody not seeing science clearly, it could be something to do with you not being happy about science. This is something about how I see science. I see it as a slight, slight difference from organized religion. And that is really, it's unintelligent, biased, stupid bullshit. Now, I know that's a big statement because science has many levels. And you know that. You're in that world. So right at one end is the old fuddy-duddies that took years and years and years to move from one idea to another. And now they've moved to another. They're stuck there. And then we have people who are more flexible. And then we have people who are right on the leading edge. And then we have people that are beyond the leading edge. And they're the ones, of course, that get ridiculed and not accepted. When I make this remark about science, I just want to explain that this is how I see it and try and explain something about that. You see, how I see religion is somebody made something up or actually copied it from something else, wrote about it, and then, like the Zionists have done, they keep saying the thing over and over and over again, until eventually people start to believe it and take it as so. The thing about religion is they are more consistent than science. That is, they've made up a story. Most all of them the same, all the religions. They've made up a story, each one of them, each religion having a slightly different story, and then they stick to the story. And so that makes it more believable in the way. Roughly their story is they have created God in an image of themselves. And most religious people are unintelligent and really quite stupid because they're not letting in something bigger that's happening. And the bigger that's happening is happening in science. What is very strange to me is that there's quite a large percentage of scientists who are religious. To me, that's the opposite. A science is somebody who's neutral, who doesn't have a position, who looks at everything in as unbiased way as possible. So how you can have a scientist who is religious is quite strange to me. So, science. Just in my short time, 79 years this month, religion has changed its mind over and over and over. And as I say, religion doesn't do that. It's made a story and it's sticking to it. All the religions have a different story, and even within each religion they have different stories, but at least they stick to it. Science has not done that, so it's a bit more flexible. In my lifetime, practically everything I was told at school has now been proved not to be true, that there's something else. I don't read science magazines now, but when I did, almost every week there was some headline that said, with this new discovery, we now have to discount everything we thought about whatever it was. Change, change, change. And of course, the different levels of science change in different ways, so the old fuddy-duddies keep holding on to their ideas. Just one thing that pops in is some of the description from science, and that is the quantum theory, the Big Bang theory. It's a theory. And when I look and study and I've read so many and watched so many hours of stuff, is what do we really know about anything? Absolutely, categorically, for certain, we know this. Well, we do know certain things on certain levels. But often, there's another level. And sometimes scientists stick at one level and they say, this is it. It's interesting how they do that. Again, religion just gives its story and says, this is how it is. God is made in the image of man. They actually say the other way around, but what they really mean is God is like us, only better. And they say, very simple story. They say, believe, trust, and you will go to heaven. And if you don't, you go to hell. That's very simple. Now, science is more complicated. What science does is says, these are the criteria that we lay down, and anything that doesn't match this criteria can't be proved, therefore it isn't true. Now, that would be fine if the criteria stayed the same, but it doesn't. It's a moving target. As something discovered, they say, oh, no, that's right. We've got to change the criteria. This is the new criteria. So they pop it up again and say, anything that doesn't match this is not so. Boy, what arrogance. What comes to mind to me is about this scientific arrogance is when I was hitchhiking around the world with Claire, we found ourselves in Egypt. And while we were in Egypt, we thought, oh, the pyramids, everybody goes to the pyramids. So we'll go to the pyramids, which they're just on the outside of town anyway, outside of Cairo. Now, to me, at that time, I had been indoctrinated in the church, but I didn't connect with the church. I loved what Jesus said, although I didn't really understand it. I realize now I didn't understand it. But the church always seemed very weird to me. It said one thing and acted another, so I never took it very seriously. So I never studied very much. When I got to the pyramids, as far as I was concerned, it was a very big, impressive lump of stone that somebody, I was told, somebody had built in order to bury the pharaoh or the king or somebody. So it was somebody important that had this great big grave built. That's what I was told. Now, when I went in, crawled along the passage and got inside, what happened to me in there was totally unexplainable from anything anybody had told me or anything I knew. I heard sounds. I heard words. I saw past lives. I saw all sorts of things, and there were no speakers in there. I had something evoke in me. I felt something I'd never felt in my life. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was certainly stronger than any hallucinogenic I'd had. Something happened to me in there. Now, there isn't any scientific explanation for that. Nobody's explained that. In fact, it's denied. And I've had many such experiences. Spiritualists bringing messages from people that have gone over to the other side that nobody else knew about. In fact, I didn't know I knew about it. And as they said, I said, oh, yes, that's right. Science has never explained that to me, except to say I'm hallucinating or this. No, there is something else. There is something else. Science tries to tell me that acupuncture doesn't work, herbs don't work, the placebo doesn't work. It tries to tell me all the... But I've had experiences. I've had experiences with psychic surgeons. Now, I know about illusionists. I know they're really very good. But I was right there with my nose there. And so were a whole bunch of people from Esalen. What we saw had no scientific explanation. None. Not even the beginning of it. There is something else. There is something else. As I got curious about the something else, I started to go wherever this something else was. I wanted to see, I wanted to feel, I wanted to experience. So all the way around the world with shamans and gurus and magic people and psychics and all sorts of things. And all the time there's part of me that's not skeptical, but it doesn't just believe. It says, now what's going on here? What am I actually experiencing? Which I think is more scientific. But it's what is actually going on. Not believing anything, but not denying anything. Allowing an unexplainable experience. And most of them, by scientific terms, are unexplainable. And yet, I was having them. For sure. Absolutely. So what I started to do was saying, I'm having these experiences, I wonder if anybody else has. So I started to search. When I started to search, there was no web, it was books and people. So I read some books, or speed read them, and started to hear that, no, lots of other people have extraordinary experiences, near-death experiences, and also as similar, although different in different ways, similar. So I started to look at what's actually going on here and realized, I don't know. But then I couldn't find out anybody else that knew. Science was absolutely no help whatsoever. And you know, many scientists, you know, they're uptight, they're arrogant, they're bigoted. And there are exceptions, but usually the exceptions are not accepted because they're considered too radical. So as I searched and studied, I started to see that not many people in the West had had experiences beyond the material. It was in the East. So I went to the East and met many people and had many experiences, and also read quite a bit about, shall we call them sages, wise people. And in my experiences, my personal experiences, and things that had happened to me in various ways, hallucinogenic drugs, but also just sitting and being in the presence of certain people and having these experiences, I've wondered, well, where do these fit in? And reading lots of writing from the sages, which we can't be sure are true, but I get a resonance, a feeling. So at some time, I suddenly started to realize that the sayings of Jesus, just the sayings of Jesus, resonated with me. I suddenly felt pretty sure, I know what this guy is talking about. I know what he says when take no thought of tomorrow, let tomorrow take the... I know what that means, living in the moment, be here now. I had other experiences that were supported by when he says, when you see the inner as the outer, and the outer as the inner, the up as the down, and the down as the up, when thine eye be single, then will thy body be full of light. I had that. So, what else is there? And it seemed to me that there are simultaneously different levels of what we could call consciousness. And we have very basic levels of consciousness, the very basic material. And then we have other levels and other levels and other levels. And to me, my explanation to myself through my mind is each level has its own reality. It's real on the level at which it exists. And there are other levels. So I started to see if I could allow myself to allow other levels. That's part of what the experiment was in Italy when we had the villa there, and for the last 2 years we had, or so, we had 66 people who meditated several times a day, and we used sounds and mantras and all sorts of things, and had quite extraordinary experiences. One, for instance, which science certainly can't explain, is 66 people standing on the lawn, looking up in the sky, and 36 people saw a spaceship, and 30 people didn't. I've got an explanation for that. I haven't heard that science has. Same as science telling us, or some levels of science telling us, that crop circles are made by students or crazy people. And yet, sometimes, 8 highly complicated crop circles appear within an hour or so. That would take, weeks for each one. And even then, they couldn't be made with what happens to the area and the vibrations and frequencies and so on. I stood in one, I felt it. And then, when I stand in a crop circle and go in there, I'm not saying I am going to feel something. Or I go in there, not skeptical, but completely open. Am I feeling anything? Am I feeling anything? And I'm fine if I'm not. I don't have to feel something. And I did. And so did the BBC camera crew that went in just before me, when all their equipment stopped. As soon as they went into the crop circle, all their equipment broke down. And so on. Lots of things. So when these things started to happen, I start to look around and see if I can get some explanations. And other levels. And I get this feeling, yes, there's another level. And then I get this level, and then I wonder, is there another level? And then another level. And then another level. And my criterion is the person that seems to me, from the writing that is said to be from him, Lao Tzu, that he says, oh, that's right, I wonder if they're getting more than I do. I wonder if they know more than I do. I wonder if they're in touch with more things than I am. And then I go to my favorite saying of Lao Tzu, who says, everyone is so certain, and I walk as though upon thin ice. And many statements similar, which to me translates as, I don't know. Which I think is what science is supposed to be, I don't know. And a neutral being open. So I don't know. And of late, I have had some very interesting things start to happen. And as they started to happen, so I got links sent to me, which I'm sure are not a coincidence, about other people who are explaining something that I'm having happen, but I can't really explain to myself. One is Jack O'Keefe. And that part for me is when she describes, as I remember it, the threshold of the mind to the no mind. And again, coming back to the science, to me, science is the mind. And to me, my experience, which is supported by many people of wisdom, my experience is the mind can only work in duality. It's this or that, right or wrong, black or white. And I know some science says, yes, a particle, light can be a particle and a wave. I know it says that, but it doesn't say that on all things as far as I know. And to me, it's in all things. If it's the mind, it's in duality. And what I'm discovering is there is something else that's not duality. And as Jack O'Keefe says, you come to the threshold, and then you try to take the mind over the threshold. And the mind might even give you the impression it's gone over the threshold, but it hasn't. If the mind tells you there's no mind, be sure that's the mind. That is not no mind, because when you're in a state of no mind, the mind cannot tell you anything. So I get to this state, this frequency, this vibration, this sensation, this feeling, this tingle in the body. And sitting with it, it envelops the whole body to the point that it comes to the skin and just melts the skin and seems to combine with the air, which has pretty well the same frequency. When you see the in as the out and the out as the in, so it is. We are just slightly, slightly different from the no-thingness. How I experience it is, as I sit in this moment, just as it is, being with just what is, no ambition, not looking ahead, not wanting for anything else, not even wanting another experience of this moment, but just being in this moment and open for anything that wants to reveal itself. As this, it feels to me, again, imagination, that the cells start to feel more free. I'm not telling them anything. I'm not demanding them anything. I'm not saying we have to or in the future. Or I'm just saying, in a way, giving each cell permission to be itself. Taking care of anything outstanding. And each cell is itself. And as it does, it seems to become transparent and in harmony and in tune with all other cells, whatever form they take. Whether they take the form of a tree, or animal, or another person, or what we call the empty air, which is absolutely not empty. Harmony. The dissolving of the identification that we call a separate self. Still something there. My feeling is that if there's absolutely no desire in any way whatsoever, if we don't just die, we transcend, we melt, we disappear, as Jesus is said to have done, and Babaji is said to be done, and quite a few other wise people. They've just evaporated and melted into the whole. Now, the whole. The nearest I can get to it, when I come back from wherever I've been to here, I don't remember being over there, but I remember when I come back that I've come back from somewhere. And the nearest I can recall, is that this, we'll say, ultimate space, just using a phrase, ultimate space, has no form. No form, in any way whatsoever. Any form is a contamination. Not wrong, not bad, but contaminated the purity of formlessness. And we do that by desire, no matter how slight. As Sosan says, the great way has no. Great way is not difficult for those that have no preferences. Make the slightest distinction, however, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. The slightest desire of any way or preference. And we contract into a more dense form. Patanjali was probably the nearest to science in the East, where he describes the different levels of awakening. And, as I've said so often, it seems to me you can't understand his writings unless you're awake. And then when you're awake, you don't need to understand his writing. And all this comes to is, I think, religion is totally lost. And there's a glimmer now on the leading edge of science, but still it's lost. Because it won't leave the mind. It's got to know. And you can't know. If you know it, as Fritz Perl said, knowing is the booby prize. You can't know. You have to give up knowing. And not only do you have to give up knowing, you have to give up the knower. Let it all go. Allow it to happen. Unless you die and be reborn. Jesus said, and we've got a whole idea of what dying is and a whole idea of what reborn is, but he's not saying that. He's saying something that can't be said. A disconnecting from the imaging of a self. Not that there isn't one. Not that there isn't a uniqueness that you can give a label to. But that is included in the whole, and not the whole included in that exclusively. So in science, the search always seems to know, and it's doomed because the ultimate can't be known. It's like when I first heard of this guru I went to in India, I thought, I'll go over there and collect his active meditation. It seemed perfect. I'll go over there. But when I got there, I didn't get it. It got me. And it's the same with this, whatever we call it, this other level of consciousness, is you can't have it. You're too small. That's too small. You will realize that it has you to the point where you are it. I think one of the illustrations in the East is as the drop falls into the ocean, the drop becomes the ocean. On a different level, I do feel a major change taking place. And it feels to me it's no longer appropriate for me to stretch across a certain gap to attempt to share with people who are not loose, flexible enough to listen without agreeing or disagreeing, without attempting to understand, who are, as Jesus said again, taking no thought of tomorrow. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else is added unto you. It is absolute priority over every single thing, everything. Consciousness, awakening, aliveness, potential is the absolute priority in every single moment. Absolute priority. Then the gap is appropriate. Whatever is shared when somebody is in that vibration and somebody else is loose, open enough, the other gets quickened, resonates, clicks. Because, of course, everybody is that. Thou art that. Everybody is that. It's just we are more or less asleep. Nothing at all to do with good or bad. Nothing. That's just very primitive mind. Now, more asleep or less asleep? Choosing to try and make the ways of the world work, which they don't and they never will. There's no safety, security, predictability in this world. It's not made that way. It's made to keep you uncomfortable so you keep being available. You have a spark, an energy in you that has to grow. It has to grow. Resist it and you get ill. Allow it. And some people have said, I'm not looking anymore because I feel happy. Once you're in this stateless state, you know that what other people call happiness to you would be absolute misery. That these people don't know what. It's not happiness. It's not even joy. It is some other thing. That is, and here's the key. Here's the key. It is not dependent on anything on the outside. You're not happy because.